Okay, good morning everybody, and Freiluch and Chanukah. Today's daf is Psachim daf Chaf. We left off on daf Yud Tesam Rebeis. We are at Ularav Di Amar. This is the last daf of the Sugya of Reb Chanina Skanakonim, and the last full daf of the first parak of Meseches Psachim. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored L'Zuchus Rufu Shalema for Rabbi Kelmer Shlita Yehuda Ben Rivka Leia by a lifelong Talmud of his. And it's also sponsored by Eric Cohn, in honor of his paternal grandfather's yard site, Chafei Kislev, David Ben Yaakov HaKohen, Olav HaShalom, Neshom Shav Naliyah. And we thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So today we're going to discuss a number of items. First of all, we're going to conclude our discussion about the machat that was nimtza bibasar. You found a needle in the flesh of the or in the excrement of a shechted karban. We're going to give four possibilities how the flesh ever could have become susceptible to tumah, how it was ever huchshu lekabel tumah in the first place, that we could then say that the basar is tameh. We're going to have two possibilities of why it is that the excrement itself wouldn't be machshir, wouldn't be metameh the basar. Meaning, if the excrement is tameh, we said if the needle is found in the excrement, we said that the basar is tar. But why isn't the excrement metameh the basar? Then the Gemara is going to discuss the transmission of tumah. We're going to talk about the longest possible chain of tumah that can start with the sheretz, and we're also going to talk about the status of a food that's in a kli cheres at the same time that a sheretz is dangling in the airspace of the kli cheres. Do we assume that that food is viewed as if it got tumah directly from the sheretz, or do we say, no, the sheretz is dangling in the airspace of the kli, so it's ki'ilu, the kli is mekabel tumah from the sheretz, and the food is mekabel tumah from the kli, so it's another level down. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to go back to the discussion of how one is supposed to get rid of chametz that is truma, meaning, after all, you're generally not allowed to burn truma, and we're going to talk about truma tahora together with truma tameya. Again, we're going to revisit a lot of the things that we've discussed throughout the last seven blot, and then the parak is going to end with a discussion of the difference between how we treat wine and how we treat oil that are in danger of becoming tameh, and the extent to which we have to avoid misusing truma tameya. So let's begin again. We're holding at Ularav di Amar. So we're about 10 lines from the end of the page on Daf Yutesam Beis. So we're going to so says Gemara, Ularav da Amar Gon Shav de la Machat Tamei Meis, that the case of the machat that you find in the behema, where we said that if you shecht an animal and you find a machat that may be tamei in that animal, that is tamei in that animal, then your hands are tahar, and the kalim, the knife, the shechita knife is tahar. So Rav had explained, what's the situation? How do you know that that machat is tamei? So Rav had explained, because you had a machat that was tamei, it was a cherev areu kechalal, it was really tamei, and then you lost it, and then you shecht the animal and has a distinct look to it, to that machat, you say, oh, there's the machat. You find it. Obviously, the animal had eaten it. So, Rav de Amargon Shavdol machat Tmei Meis, V'ikira Babas. So, there's a machat that became Tamei through Tmei Meis, and then you realize that that's the same machat you just found in the flesh of this carbon. So, Kivan Damar Mar B'chalal Cherev, Cherev Hareu Kechalal, Adam V'kelem Nami L'tamei. But once we say that his principle of Cherev Hareu Kechalal, that any Cherev that touches a mace is Navi Avos Atuma, like the mace itself, and not only that, but a cherev that touches a tamei mace is an avatuma. So, like the tamei mace itself. So then, this machat should be metame adam v'kelim as well, meaning it should be metame the yadayim of the person who is shechted the carbon and the kelim, the shechita knife. Some ravashi zosameris rishus rabim he savik the havle savitum rishus rabim calls savitum rishus rabim sveikotar. No, the azara is a rishus rabim, and since the azar is viewed as a rishus rabim, and we're only besafik whether the knife and the person touched the machat. We know that the basar touched the machat, but we don't know that the person or the knife touched the machat. So that's a safik tum rishus rabim. And anytime you have a safik tum rishus rabim, halach is sveiko tahar. So says Mar Harbor rishus yachid sveiko tamehu. The implication would be that if the similar safik would have happened in a rishus yachid, we would say that it is tameh, because then we would view it as a safik
to Mershas Yachid. Is that really true though? Michti, hay machad davar shein bo das lishalhu. This machad is something that you can't ask it about its status. You can't say, you can't interview the machad and say, are you tamei, are you tahar? It's not something you can talk to. And the rule is, kal davar shein bo das lishal, bein mershas sham, bein mershas yachid, sveiko tahar. Even though we're used to saying, oh, something to mershas yachid is tamei, that's only if it's yesh bo das lishal. But if the item is something that's ein bo das lishal, there's such a rule that based on gzeris hakasim, because the whole makar of savik tum versus yachid tamei is from sota. So from sota we see it's got to be like sota. The only time we say this chiddush that savik tum versus yachid is tamei is when it's dumya de sota. A sota is a person. You can interview her. You can ask her. So too only when it's yesh bo das lishal, only when it's a person. But if it's something that you can't ask, then it's always going to be sveiko tahar. So why are we implying that it's only because the Azar is a Rishas HaRabim that's why the Kalim and the Adam are going to be tahar? Kalim and the Adam should be tahar even if it were Rishas Yachid. The answer is Gemara Mishum Dahavi Savik Tuma Babi De Adam, because this was a situation of a Savik Tuma that didn't just happen, but you did a Maisa to make it happen. Meaning, if that knife actually touched the Machat, it's because you took the knife and put it in contact with that Machat. Vam Rabbi Yochan taught another rule, Safik Tuma Babi De Adam. Any time you have a Safik Tuma Babi De Adam, that a person himself caused the Safik Tuma, Nishalin Aleha, the Bailim has to ask the Beis Din what the Psak would be. Vafilu Bekli Amunach Al Gabi Karka. Even if the Safik is about a Kli that's Al Gabi Karka, which means that it's Ein Bodas Lishal. Even if it's about a Kli that you can't ask anything about. So a person is was not involved. He didn't bring it to the sheretz, but the he's holding a sheretz and he has a suffix. If he brought it to the kli, nevertheless, Bereshus Yachid is going to be tamei kedavar sheish bodas lishal. We treat that like a davar sheish bodas lishal. So it's like an exception to the exception, right? The rule is a suffix to Bereshus Yachid is tamei. The exception to that rule is ein bodas lishal. That if it's ein bodas lishal, then it's sveiko tahar. And the exception to the rule is that if it's Babi De Adam, then even if it's Ein Badas Lishol, it's Kamisha Yesh Badas Lishol, and therefore we go back to the rule of Safik Tum Bereshus Yachid being Tameh. That's why it's important in this case that it has to be we have to consider the Azara or Rishus HaRabim in order to be able to come to this conclusion that the knife and the Adam are in fact Tahar. So says the Gemara Vayta now, explaining the Mishnah in Mesechta Edios that we quoted before. We said that if you find the Machat, that's Tamei, in the Basar HaKarban, the Sakin and the Adayim are Tahoros, but Vabasar Tamei, the meat of the carbon itself, the flesh of the carbon, is tameh. So I bust a discussion b'mai. Where was the hechsher lekabel tuma? It's true, there's such a thing called tumas ochlim. Food can become tameh, but in order for food to become tameh, it first has to come in contact with one of the zayin mashkim. So where is the hechsher lekabel tuma? E name a discussion b'dam. If you want to say that the hechsher lekabel tuma is from the dam shchita, when you shecht an animal, there's a lot of blood, so that blood is machshir. V'am rabchi b'rabam rabbi yochum minayin dam kachim she'enu machshir. Well, how do I know dam kachim is not machshir ochel to be mekabel tuma? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, and we already had this, lo tochlenu ala aretz tishbachenu kamayim. So we darshin dam shenishbach kamayim machshir. That only dam that's spills like water, meaning dam that you're not interested in keeping, that has no value to you, then it's machshir like water is machshir to be mekabel tuma. But v'sheinu nishbach kamayim, dam of karbonos, which is not nishbach kamayim, because you catch it in a kli, you're zorikin on the Mizbeach, it achieves kapara for you, right? Dam that's of kachim is very valuable dam. Say no machshir, then it's not going to be able to be machshir lekabel tuma because it's not considered to be a mashke. So that's why you can't tell me that the way that the meat became hukshir lekabel tuma was from its own dam. No, the dam of a karban is not able to be machshir lekabel tuma. Ve'ele diskash be mashke mes mitbechaya. Now maybe the way it became hukshir lekabel tuma, possibility number two is from the water in the Beis Mitbachaya. Remember, we had the discussion Beis Mitbachaya Daf Yud Zayin. We had the discussion, which mashkim are not mitame. So we pointed out that Beis Mitbachaya has two mashkim. There's dam and there's mayim. Mitbachaya, when you talk about the mizbeach, so then there's shemen and yayin as well. So maybe we're talking about the other mashke of the Beis Mitbachaya, which is another way of saying water. It's the water in the slaughtering area of the Beis HaMikdash that was machshir this meat, because they rinse off the meat. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, mashke Beis Mitbachaya, lo dayin shein dachan, ela shein machshirin. Not only are they tahar, are such mashkim tahar, the mashkim, the Beis Mitbachaya, are not even, they don't even have the ability to be machshir ochel, to be mekabel tumah. So possibility number two is rejected as well. Where does this hechsher lekabel tumah come from? It can't be from its own blood, because the blood of a korban is not nishpach kemayim. It can't be from the mayim of the mashkebe of the Beis Mitbachaya, because the special status of mashke Beis Mitbachaya is tahar, and it's not even able to be machsher lekabel tumah. So possibility number three, vel diskasher bechibas hakodesh, that chavivus of kachim gives Michael such a chashivus, or even if it's not a Michael, even by Eitzim and Lavona, gives an item such a chashivus that it becomes, even if it's not Roy Lachila, it becomes Huchsha LeKabel Tumah. We consider it as if it's already predisposed to Tumah. Say, Emer Demahani LeChibas HaKodesh of Sulegufe. But we only find that Chibas HaKodesh is able to be Machshir Kachim for Kabbalah's Tumah as far as the Kachim itself becoming Tameh. But Lemimna Be Rishon V'Sheni Na, do we also find that Chibas HaKodesh makes it so susceptible to Tumah that it can even become Tameh enough to be Metameh other things? Can Chibas HaKodesh have that kind of impact? If so, then Tivshot to buy Reish Lakish. Then we should be poshet the Shaila that Reish Lakish asks. Tzarit Shel Menachos, if you have a dry clump of flour from a Karban Mincha, meaning that that part of the Karban Mincha never touched any oil, so it was never Hukshar but Lekabel Tumah in the conventional sense by touching oil, rather it's only the Chibas HaKodesh that's machshir that flour. So is it mekabel tumah to the extent that Moren Barishon V'Sheni? Alo, meaning certainly that flour can become tameh in its own right because of Chibas HaKodesh. But does it become tameh enough to then transmit that tumah to other things? So that was a shaila, whether it's hukshar. But if the reason that the Mishnah said that the basar is tameh to be metameh other things is based on Chibas HaKodesh, we have enough in a raya. The Mishnah is telling us, you find this machat in the basar is tameh. Where's the hechsher of the basar? Chibas HaKodesh. And we said the basar is tameh enough to transmit tumah to other things. So why is Reish Lakish Masupak whether Chibas HaKodesh is enough to transmit tumah to other things as well? So it says another possibility number four as to where, and final possibility as to where this hechsher lekabel tumah came from. Amar Rav Yudah Shmuel, Gan Shalas Aparish Shel Zivchei Shlamim Ve'avira Benahar. There was a cow that was for a carbon shlamim, and they brought it through the river in order to soften its skin, so that it will be easier to do the hefshet. It will be easier to do the skinning of the animal after the shechita. So the more moist it is, or they brought it to the nar, not to walk it through the nar, but it drinks a lot. When it drinks a lot, when it's well hydrated, so then it's easier to skin the animal afterwards. And then v'shachta v'adayin mashka tofeach aleha, and it still had some of the mashke from the main nahar, from the water of the river that was still on it at the time of the shechita. So some of the water that was on the ar dripped onto the basar, and that was makshir the basar to be mekabel tumah. So we had four possibilities. We suggested that it was the dam of the carbon itself. We said that can't be because the dam is not nishpach kamayim. We said it's the water of the bay mitbachaya. That can't be because that's a special mashke bay mitbachaya is not makshir. We said maybe Chibas HaKodesh, that's unlikely, because if that were the case then there wouldn't be a suffix whether Chibas HaKodesh can even transmit Tumah. And then finally the response that we stick with is that it's the water from bringing the animal to the river that remains on the animal even after the Shechita. So that's where the Hechsher LeKabel Tumah came from. So then the Mishnah goes on to say, Nimtzeis Paperet, Nefesh. Then the Mishnah went on to say, let's say you didn't find the needle in the flesh of the animal, you found it in the excrement of the animal. Then Hakol Tahar. Then not only are the Adayim of the Kohen Tahar, not only is the Sakin Tahar, but even the flesh, even the Basar of the animal is going to be Tahar. So says Mar, why? Meaning the Perish is obviously Tamei, so we're not the Perish from the Tamei of the Basar. If the Perish is Tamei, why isn't the Perish in turn Mitamei the Basar? So I'm Ravad Barava, but Perish Ava. It can't be Mitamei the Basar because it's not a Mashke. If it were a Mashke, it would be Mitamei the Basar, but it's Perish Ava. It's very thick excrement, and as thick excrement, it doesn't have a din of a Mashke, and therefore it doesn't have the capacity to be Mitamei Basar. Ravashi Yomer, no, feel the same Perish Rako. We could even say that it's a very liquidy kind of excrement, but Mishum Dahavi Mashke Saruach, but it's a Mashke Saruach. It's pungent because it's Perish, because it's excrement, and a Mashke Saruach is not Mitamei. We had that already as well. There's a lot of Chazara of the last seven Dapim in this stuff over here. We had that already as well. Remember what we discussed on Daf Yud Ches, when we spoke about the para that drank the mechatas, right? So we suggested that maybe it doesn't have the capacity to be metame because it's already saruach. The second it goes into the animal system, so it's already saruach. So here also we have this notion of a mashke saruach. Over there it was machlokes. Is it really saruach the second the animal drinks some water? But over here we're talking about perish, so it doesn't seem that there's a machlokes. So this would be it's a machlokes here also, whether you have to say it's mashke of that is perish ava or no. Maybe you could say it's raka, but it is saruach, and therefore it doesn't have a din of a mashke. Tani tan kamed Rav Sheshes. So they taught the following brisa in front of Rav Sheshes, which is going through now the seder of how tumah is transmitted. Sheretz mitamei es hamashkin. So sheretz could be mitamei a mashkin, and that will turn around to mashkin mitamei es hakli, and that will turn around to kli mitamei es haochlin, and then vochlin mitamei es hamashkin. V'lamadu shalosh tumos b'sheretz. So if you're keeping score, that's three levels of tumah from the sheretz. Says Gemara, I am keeping score, and it's not three. Hani arba'ahein. You just mentioned four levels and not three. The mashka that touches the sheretz is a rishon. The kli that touches that is a sheni. The ochel that touches that is a shlishi. Mashka that touches that is a revi'i. And even Rabbi Akiva, who darshins yitma to always mean yitamei, and therefore taught us that there could be such a thing as a shlishi l'chulin, he never said a revi'i l'chulin. So what's going on over here? So it says where it goes mashka deresha. We added an extra mashkin in there. We had two mashkin in this train of transmission. And the first one does not belong, meaning take it out, and really what we're trying to demonstrate is that you can get up until a shlishi and not up until a revi. So says Gemara, why are you taking out the first mashkin? Adrabah, goes mashkin to seifa. Take away the second mention of mashkin and let it say that the sheretz is metamei a mashka, the mashka becomes a rishon, therefore the mashka is metamei a kli, which becomes a sheni, and the kli is metamei ochel, which becomes a shlishi. So what would be wrong with that? Says Gemara, lo ashkon tana damar mashkin. Because we only found one shita that holds a mashkin as metame a kli. So if we chazer back, that's daf tezayin where we said that Rabbi Yehuda holds a mashkin can even be metame a kli. But guess what? Vahadabe. On daf yudzayin, Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind and he said a mashkin cannot be metame a kli. So when we're picturing the train of transmission, we're not going to set it up in a way that goes like the hava amina of Rabbi Yehuda, but is against everybody, even Rabbi Yehuda himself in the maskana. So that's why we take out the first mashke from the train of transmission. If you want to remember how a sheretz can transmit tumah and how far it can go, think about making beer. So apparently, if you know something about making beer, then it's helpful. If you don't, it's not so helpful. But the way they would make beer is first you'd get the kli. Well, it's logical. First you'd get the kli. So it starts with the kli. So the sheretz could be metamei kli. Then you would get the barley. So that's a meichel. So second step is meichel. And then you'd pour the water. So, because that's how you make beer. That's an easy way to remember the train of transmission of tumah from a sheretz to as far as that tumah can go. If you have a sheretz in an oven, hapas shebetocho shnia, any bread in the oven at the same time becomes a sheni l'tumah. Because the sheretz is nav, the tanner becomes a rishon, so the bread inside of that oven becomes a sheni. Very logical.
Amalei Rav Adi Bar Rava L'Rava V'nechzilai Tanner Kamanda Mali Tumah Dami.
Tavi high pass Rishona, but it's logical. But maybe there's another way to look at it. A sheretz doesn't touch, have to touch the oven in order to be mitami. The oven's a kli cheres. The sheretz only needs to be dangling in the airspace of the oven. So maybe the way Tumas sheretz works is that when the sheretz is in the airspace, we view that sheretz as if it fills the airspace of the oven, as if Tuma is filling the entire airspace of the oven, and therefore any bread that's in that oven at the same time, it's ki'ilu, it's touching the sheretz directly, because it's touching that aura of Tuma that the sheretz is filling the oven with. So why do you have to say that the sheretz is being metame the oven, which in turn is being metame the bread? No, maybe the sheretz is being metame the bread directly, and therefore the bread is a rishon, not a sheni. We can't view it that way. Because we have a brisa, yachlu you call a kelim mitamin me avir kli cheres. You might think that all kelim, like kli eitz or mateches that are inside of an airspace of a kli cheres becomes tamei, because after all a sheretz that's in the airspace of a kli cheres is mitamei the whole airspace. So you might think other kelim that are in that kli cheres become tamei from that sheretz. Tamelom mikol asher betochi yitma v'samachlei mikol ochel that ochel mitamei me avir kli cheres ve'in kol. That the pasuk teaches us that only food becomes tameh from the avir kli cheres. Now, if the way that the tumah was transmitted, the way to view it was that the sheretz is filling up the entire airspace of the kli cheres, then why wouldn't other kelim become tameh? Kelim can certainly become tameh from a sheretz. No, it must be that the mechanics of it is that the sheretz is metameh the kli that it's in the airspace of, and that kli is then metameh whatever else is in it. But kelim cannot be metameh other kelim. And that's why when there are other kelim in that kli cheres, they in fact do not become tamei. Okay, so then the Gemara goes back to discuss our Mishnah. We had said in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yossi says that both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua agree that you're allowed to burn in the sixth hour in Erev Pesach, Truma Tahora, that the way you burn Truma on Erev Pesach, Truma Tahora in its own fire, Truma Tameya in its own fire, because you can't be Metame the Truma Tahora. So in the 6 hour in Erev Pesach, the Truma Tahora and Truma Tameya have to be burned separately. If you recall, we said in the 7th hour, then it's all different, because by then everything is also Darai, so the 7th hour you can burn it together. But there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yosef and machlokas between Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Yeshua, can you burn Truma Tuluya together with Truma Tameya? Truma that you're mesupak about together with Truma Tameya. So Rabbi Elazar said, no, you have to burn them separately. And Rabbi Yeshua said, nah, that you can burn together. There's no iser to be metame the Truma Tuluya. So Rav Chisda, we're going to ask a series of stiras right now, of 4 stiras. So Rav Chisda Rami Pischa Pischa. Rav Chisda asked the stira within Hilchas Erev Pesach. Umeshani, and he answered the stira. Miam Rabbi Yeshua, all the stiras are about Shitas Rabbi Yeshua. Miam Rabbi Yeshua, Shtein Ka'achas. Does Rabbi Yeshua really say that you could burn Tluya and Temeya together, Uraminu, but I'll ask you a stira that the Brisa tells us that Rabbi Meir wanted to prove from Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim and Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah that you're allowed to burn Truma Tahora with Truma Temeya on Erev Pesach, and Amar Rabbi Yossi responded to Rabbi Meir, so again, good Chazara, Rabbi Yossi responded to Rabbi Meir, Einandino Domadaria, you cannot bring a Raya from Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim and from Rabbi Yoshua that you're allowed to burn Truma Tahora with Truma Tameya, Kishidu Rabbi Seinu Amai Idu. When they told us you're allowed to be metame certain things, what were they talking about when they were talking about burning Trumas Chametz? Imala Basar Shnitma Bevlada Tumah Shavrnosam Basar Shnitma Ba'Avat Tumah. You want to tell me? Oh, because Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim said you could burn a shlishi with a rishon Basar Kodesh that's a shlishi together with Basar Kodesh that's rishon, and therefore you want to conclude that Truma Tahora and Truma Tameya can be put together. That's not at all similar. Zetame v'zetame. When Basar Rishon and Basar Shlishi are burned together, yes, you're upgrading the Shlishi to a Sheni. You're intensifying its Tumah. But it was Tameh anyway. It was already Tameh. So, whereas over here, you're taking something that's totally tar and trying to be Metameh it. And Imal Hashem and Shenif Sal B'Tvul Yom Shemad Liknos B'Ner Shenit B'Tameh Meis. So you're going to tell me, oh no, but there's another Allah that Rabbi Akiva taught me in the Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva said, you could take Shemin of Truma that became Tameh from a Tvul
full yom, meaning a shlishi, and be madlik it in a ner that became tummy from tamei meis. So which is an avatuma. So you're going to be upgrading the shlishi into a rishon, two levels up. Yeah, but still ze pasul the ze tame. But the truma is at least pasul already. So it's different between being metame, that which is already tame with more intense tuma, and taking that which has no tuma whatsoever. So the real parallel would be to take truma that's at a lower level of tuma and burn it together with truma at a higher level of tuma. Yeah, we're moda that you're allowed to do that. That you could derive from Rabbi Chanina's kind of quantum said and from what Rabbi Akiva said. But how would you be allowed to burn even suffik truma tameya with truma tameya? Shama yavayitarim. After all, Eliyahu Hanavi might come one day and tell us that this truma tuluya is really tahar, and then it will turn out that we caused tuma to truma. So kol shekin, you're not allowed to take truma chametz that's tahar, that you know is tahar, and burn it with that which is tamei, even though it's chametz and it's about to be destroyed anyway. So you see that this that in the brisa within Shitas Rabbi Yossi, everyone agrees you're not allowed to burn truma tuluya with truma tameya. Whereas in our Mishnah, we said that according to Rabbi Yeshua, you are allowed to burn truma tuluya together with truma tameya and be metame the tuluya betumas vadai. Umishani sort of chista answered the stira. So the stira number one, he answered the stira. Ha Rabbi Shimon v'alibit Rabbi Yeshua. Ha Rabbi Yosef v'alibit Rabbi Yeshua. We don't like to say it, but every once in a while we have no other choice but to say that it's a machlokas of later tanaim what the earlier tana held. So when the Mishnah says that it's mutter to burn truma tameya together with truma tuluya or tuluya together with tameya, that's Rabbi Shimon's understanding of Rabbi Yeshua. And when the Braisa said, you're not allowed to do that, you're not allowed to be metame the truma tuluya by burning it together with truma tameya, that's Rabbi Yossi's understanding of Rabbi Yeshua. Did Tanya, and we have a Braisa that bears this out, because the Braisa tells us, Arbaas Shchalios b'Shabbos, and this is Chazara also, if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, Mivarin Nesakol Milifnei HaShabbos. So you got to get rid of everything before Shabbos. We had this back in Daf Yud Gimel, that you Mivarin Nesakol Milifnei HaShabbos. You have to destroy everything, all your chametz before Shabbos. The Sarfin Trumas Tameos, Tuluyos Toros. And you burn the Truma Tameya, you burn your Truma Tuluya, and you burn your Truma Torah. Divra Meir, that you're, and that's Rav Meir Lishitasa, that you could be Metame Trumas Chametz on Erev Pesach, because it's going to be destroyed anyway. So you might as well burn it all together. Make one big bonfire, throw all your Truma in there, the Tame, the Tahar, the Tuluya, all together. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Tahor B'fnasma, Tuluya B'fnasma, Tameya B'fnasma. Three fires. One for the Truma Tameya, one for the Truma Torah, one for the Truma Tuluya. So Amr Rabbi Shimon lo nechluku Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua ala tahora vi ala tameya she'ein sarfin. Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua say tahora and tameya for sure you're not allowed to burn together. Ala tuluya vi ala tahora she'sarfin. Tuluya and tahora you are allowed to burn together, meaning truma that's tahor with truma that's tuluya, that's safek tuma, safek not tuma, that you're allowed to burn together. Al ma nechluku ala tuluya vi ala tameya. The only machlokas is, can you take truma that's safek tamei and make it vadai tamei by burning it together with tameya? She Rabbi Eliezer Omer tisariv zuba atzma v'zuba atzma. Rabbi Eliezer says you could burn each one separately. You have to burn each one separately, but not together. You're not allowed to be metamei the tuluya. Rabbi Shua mishtein kachas. And Rabbi Shua says you're even allowed to burn them together because there's no isra of being metamei the truma tuluya. So you see that in the brisa, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon disagree what Rabbi Yeshua holds. On Erev Pesach, are you allowed to take Truma Teluya and burn it together with Truma Temeya? So that's Rav Chista answered the Stira, that when Rabbi Yeshua was matir in our Mishnah, that's Rabbi Shimon's understanding of Rabbi Yeshua. When the Braisa says that Rabbi Yeshua holds its Aser, that's Rabbi Yossi's understanding of Rabbi Yeshua. So it's Machlokas what Rabbi Yeshua said. Vahamas Nisin Rabbi Yossi. So says, but wait a second, the Seifa of that Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi, is not Rabbi Shimon, because we said Rabbi Yossi ain't a hi amida. So how can you say that according to Rabbi Yeshua, you're allowed to burn Truma Tuluya together with Truma Tumeya? Sansa Gemara, Hachi Kamar, Rabbi Yossi the Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi was saying to Rabbi Meir the following: to Rabbi Meir, who is matir burning Truma Tahora, even Truma Tahora together with Truma Tumeya and Erev Pesach, he says, according to me, you're not allowed to be matami even Truma Tuluya. But Afilu Rabbi Shimon, Va'alibid Rabbi Yeshua, to Mekel, and even those who disagree with me and think Rabbi Yeshua allowed you to burn Truma Tuluya with Truma Tameya, even that Shita, ki Mekel betuluyu Tameya.
Tmeya. Av b'Torah Tmeya lo. So even though you're right, it is Rabbi Yossi talking the Mishnah, but it's not Rabbi Yossi talking from his own perspective. Rabbi Yossi is saying, look, from my perspective, what you're saying is off the wall. What you're saying is absolutely insane. That you're going to take Truma Torah together with Truma Tmeya and bring them together? I wouldn't even allow Truma Tuliya with Truma Tmeya. I think Rabbi Shur doesn't even allow Truma Tuliya and Truma Tmeya. But even those who disagree with me and are more permissive about this, they only say that Rabbi Shur allows Truma Tuliya with Truma Tmeya. But you're going to allow Truma Tahora with Truma Tmeya? That's what Rabbi Yossi is speaking from the perspective of those who understand Rabbi Shur differently from him. That even those who are more Makil would never be that Makil. So Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanin, and Rami Truma Pischa. Now a second stira. A stira between halachas of Truma and halachas of Pesach. And he answers this stira as well. And the stira, again, focuses on Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. Miyam Rabbi Yeshua, does Rabbi Yeshua really say that Tuluya and Temeya, Shtein Ka'achas, you're allowed to burn Tuluya and Temeya together? Or a minu, I'll ask you a stira from a Mishnah Masechas Trumos, Chavish al Truma Shenol B'Safik Tuma. If you have a Chavish al Truma that has a Safik Tuma, that may or may not be Tamei. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Rabbi Yisum, Menachas B'Mokam Aturfa, we had this previously as well. If it was out there, B'Mokam Aturfa, if it was out in a place where it can, where it's not protected, even though it's already suffic tame, but it's not, you don't know that it's tame yet, so put it away somewhere that it's protected. And if it's exposed, cover it up. Rabbi Shua, says, nah. Not only do you not have to put it in a protected area, if it's in a place that's already protected, just put it out there, see what happens. And if it's covered, yigalena. Expose it. So you're allowed to be Gorim Tumah because it's already Safek Tameh and you don't have to be Shomer it. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina now explains his Kasha. Grama in Biadayim Lo. You're allowed to be Gorim Tumah by putting it in a place where it's at high risk of becoming Tameh. But you're certainly not allowed to go and be Metameh it. So how could our Mishnah allow you to burn Truma Tuluya together with Truma Tameya? That's being Metameh Biadayim. Apparently we don't allow that much. Well, Mishani, how Rabbi Shimon Ali with Rabbi Yeshua, how Rabbi Yossi Ali with Rabbi Yeshua. Remember, we just said that it's a machlokas what Rabbi Yeshua holds. Are you allowed to be metame truma tuluya when you're burning it? So if you hold that you are allowed to, so then you can even be metame biyadayim. This brisa that says you can't do a biyadayim, you can only be gorim, assumes that you're not allowed to burn truma tuluya together with truma tameya. Rabbi Elazar, third stira, Rabbi Elazar Rami truma atruma. He asks a stira within Rabbi Yeshua, all within the laws of Truma throughout the year, nothing to do with Erev Pesach, Umeshani, and he answers the Stira. Miyam Rabbi Yeshua, Grama in Biadayim Lo, does Rabbi Yeshua say you're only allowed to be Goreim Tuma to Truma Teluya by putting it in a place where it's not protected, but you're not allowed to actually be Metameit? Or Aminu, I'll ask you a Stira from another Mishnah that we already had. Chavis Shel Truma Shanishba Begasa Eliona. You have a barrel of Truma wine that breaks, and now it's dripping down. Vitachteh, Chulun Tamein, and underneath it you have chulin tamein that's catching all this wine of truma. So if the wine of truma is going to fall into it, it's going to be metame. It's going to be metame, and it's going to be aser b'shtia, right? Because the case is that it's a chavish truma and chulin tamein. So all the truma is going to become tame if it lands into the chulin tamein, and the chulin wine is going to be aser also because now it's going to be mixed with truma. So there's no way to save the truma, so there's machlokes Rabbi Lazar Yeshua what to do. So Mother Rabbi Lazar Yeshua im yachal lahatzel mimena revius b'tahara. If you're able to go, you have a tamei kli right there to catch the truma wine, and at least that would save the chulin because chulin is allowed to be tamei. So you could take a tamei kli and catch the truma wine, so at least the truma won't mix with the chulin, and you'll save the chulin. Or you'll take a little bit longer, go find a tahar kli and bring it back. But in the interim, you're going to lose a lot. So as long as when you go to fetch the Tahar Kli, you would be, by the time you get back, you'd still be able to save a revius of the Tahar wine, Yatzil, then you have to save it. Vimlav, but if you're not going to be able to save a revius of the Tahar wine, then we have Machlokas. Rabbi Lez Romer, Terid Vititame Valya Tamena Biyad. Let the Truma just drip right into the Chulin. It's all going to become Tame. Yeah, but you can't take a Tame Kli and catch the Truma wine, because then you're being Metame the Truma. Let it happen on its own, but you can't do it, even though that means all that chulin wine is going to be unusable now. So you're ruining all your wine. Rabbi Shomer itamena biyad. Rabbi Shomer says no, you can be metame at biyad. So the problem is that according to Rabbi Yeshua, apparently you're allowed to be metame truma that's ultimately going to be lost, and you're allowed to do it biyadayim. So how come the previous mission we said that if you have truma tuluya, you could put it b'makom hahefker, you could put it, you could uncover it, but don't be metame biyadayim. So which is it? No, when not only is the truma at risk, but a whole vat of chulin wine is at risk, that's a major hefsid. So then you're allowed to be metame biyadayim. But generally speaking, you're not allowed to be metame biyadayim. So Rava Masisanami Ika Hefsid Eitzim. Well, wait a second. In our Mishnah, where Rabbi Yossi understood Shitas Rabbi Yeshua, that you're not allowed to burn truma Torah together with truma Tamei on Erev Pesach, right, because it's going to be metame, there's also a hefsid. What's the hefsid? You're going to have to make a second fire. That means a second pile of firewood. So there's a hefsid Eitzim over there as well. So why is it that the hefsid of the wine that the truma is falling into is enough of a hefsid for us to say, you know what, you're allowed to be metame at biyadayim? Yet when it comes to the hefsid of Eitzim, we're not going to allow being metame biyadayim. Some Abai responded, lefsid meruba chashu, lefsid muat lo chashu. We're only choshesh for hefsid meruba, we're not choshesh for a hefsid muat. We're only choshesh for a major loss, not for a small loss. There's a major discussion. How do we define what's called a hefsid meruba? Hefsid meruba is one of the more common phrases that you have when you learn Isser V'Heter. You learn through Yardaya, it comes up all the time, because there are a lot of things that are only mutter, b'makom hefsid meruba. So there's a long piskei tshuva, I just said it over in Yardaya Shir yesterday, actually. There's a long piskei tshuva in Simen Lamed Aleph. Simen Lamed Aleph is Hilchus Treifus. So most people aren't, hefsid meruba comes up everywhere. Most people are never going to find this piskei tshuva because it's in Hilchus Treifus. How many people are in Hilchus Treifus? But in Hilchus Treifus, the Shulchan Aruch talks about the krum shel moach, that the membrane around the brain, there's a double membrane around the brain of an animal. So if it's totally punctured, so then the animal's a treifa. If the outer one is punctured, but the inner one is not punctured, so b'makom hefsid meruba, we're makel. So the piskei tshuva chooses that place, of all places, to go in a whole arichus about hefsid meruba. So he discusses three issues. He discusses, first of all, how do you quantify hefsid meruba? Is there like a number? Like how expensive is hefsid meruba? So he quotes a machlokas between the Nachash Shiva and Ara Karmel, what hefsid meruba is. Whether it's a particular percentage, where he suggests shlus, that 1/6, what we call 20%, it's shlus milavar, so 20% of the total value is called hefsid meruba, or the Ara Karmel says, well, that's ridiculous. Why would it be 20% of the entire value? Let's say if it's a $5 item, so 20% is $1. If it's a $5 million item, so $900,000 is not a hefsid meruba just because I'm dealing with meaning how could that be? So he said most likely, and the way we generally assume, hefsid meruba, hakol lefi inyan, hakol lefi ashi lefi asho, ani lefi anyo, it has to be based on what the person is, what the situation is. That's how we determine hefsid meruba. Rav Neuberger tells the Maisa that when he was a young rabbi, someone called him about a particular shailin kasher and kelim. Not going to get into the details now. And he was makel because it was a situation that he thought was hefsid meruba. It was an expensive set of china, so he was makel based on hefsid meruba. And he said he got a call from another rav that said that family you were just makel for has two Mercedes parked in their driveway. Is it really a hefsid meruba for them? Meaning, do you have to assess, you know, what's considered a hefsid meruba based on their family? He said Rav Dov Lipschitz told him the next day, "You're good. Don't worry. It was the correct psak." But we have to assess the entire situation. There's also a fascinating discussion. If it's a hefsid meruba for me, does that allow you to eat it? So that's a tricky one. Because a lot of times you have a company that does a major run, and you could be making hefsid meruba. They forgot to kasher or something or whatever. And it's a major run, but for what? For the customer, it's not a hefsid meruba. So I won't buy this one. I'll buy that one. You know, it's not a hefsid meruba at all for the customer. It's a hefsid meruba for the company. So do you have to let them know? Some of the poskim say that you're not allowed to give it to others. You have to eat it all yourself. You can't, it's not a hefsid meruba for them. Other poskim say you're allowed to give it to others, but you have to tell them that this is hefsid meruba. And the way we seem to paskin is that you don't tell anybody that if it's mutter magum hefsid meruba, then it's just you just assume it's mutter. It comes up in Hilchas Safra sometimes, because when a sofer writes a pair of tefillin, the halacha is that the parshios need to be written kisidran. They have to be written in the right order. So let's say there's a negia, not that he missed a letter. If he misses a letter in the middle and then he finished writing the parsha, it goes into Shemus, he's got a start again. There's nothing you could do about it. But let's say there's a negias osios in the middle. So there's a machlokas. Can you just scratch out the negias? Is that a violation of shalokas syndrome? Because the letters were written in order. There just happened to have been a psul. So that's a machlokas. Biralacha is make makom efsim ruba. For a sofer, it's efsim ruba. Sofrim don't make a lot of money. And it's very hard to write tefillin, very time consuming. So for a sofer, it's efsim ruba. So it's mutter. But for you who are buying the tefillin and are going to wear that tefillin every single day for the rest of your life, not really efsim ruba. You could buy another pair of tefillin. Sofrim don't tell you. They don't have to. I mean, that's a wee paskin that it's called efsim ruba. Once it's efsim ruba, everyone's allowed to do. So anyway, when we're not tamer, the efsim ruba chashu, efsim lo chashu. How do I know that we're choshish for efsim ruba, not for efsim ruba? The Tanya chavish shel shemen truma shenish ruba gas al yona. If you have oil of truma that breaks in the gas al yona betachtona chulin tamei, and then there's chulin tamei underneath it, and it's about to, all the shemen shel truma is about to drip and into the chulin tamei and ruin the chulin as well. So mother Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shur shem yachlatz men revius betari yatzil. Rabbi Lezer agrees if you could go save a revius of a betari, you have to do that. But v'imlav, if you can't, titamei val yitamei nebiyad, then let it be mitame itself, but don't bring a tame kli to catch any of it. Let it drip in and be mitame and ruin everything. Ruin all the shemen shel chulin. Maishna shemen de roi lahadliki. So why is it that shemen you should let it ruin the whole thing? I worry about have some ruba because you could still use the shemen to be madlik. There's the daf yomi coincidence. Talking about being madlik shemen on the first day of Chanukah. You could still be madlik shemen tame. You could still be madlik the shemen because even if it's tame. But yayinami roi lazil. Says Gemara, yeah, but yayin that of truma that's tummy, you can also, you just can't drink it, but you could sprinkle it on the ground to give a pleasant fragrance to your home. V'chitem zilof lav milsei, and if you're going to say zilof is not really a valuable usage of it, v'amr shmul mishum rebuchia shosin milug besela umazalfin milug b'shtayim, that if you have two different levels of quality of wine, you should use the higher quality for zilof. So it says more b'chadash, we must be talking about wine that's not royal zilof, it's new wine. V'royal yashnol, so leave it around and let it become old wine. We don't want to leave it around for too long because then it will be a takala, you'll come to drink it. Shaman also will be a takala. No, it won't, because you'll put it in a disgusting kli, so you'll never come to drink it. So why don't you put the wine in a disgusting kli? So says Gemara, if you want to use it for zilof, you wouldn't put it in a kli ma'us. So that's why by the shemen, we could allow it to become tameh, because it's not going to be afsim ruba, that's the raya, that left some ruba chashu, left some muat, lo chashu. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Vitakala Atzma. Oh, yeah. Day in a good chat.